fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here, our second hour. This is the Tuesday Morning Roundtable on Tuesday, the third day of January, year of our Lord 2023. The purpose of today is to learn basic skills. That would be first aid, CPR skills, ham radio skills, and cross-country navigation skills, all of which in normal times are helpful, and serious bad times could be a matter of life and death. We have with us Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We have with us Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at amazon.com. Leon's held over from the first hour. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us, sir, and Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year.
We had a held over from the last hour, a story that Leon was telling. I looked up this a small town of Eudora, Arkansas, a town of less than 3,000 people. It's had 10 shootings in the last week or two, and they now have a curfew, a mandatory curfew, trying to get a handle on this crime. Apparently, there's a lot of people in the middle community who know who's responsible, but they're fearful of coming forward and providing the police of the information they need to make arrests. Kind of an unexpected deal there, but that's what's going on, Jeff. And hopefully the authorities in Eudora, Arkansas, will be able to restore peace and tranquility to that little town, little farming community of Eudora, Arkansas. Jeff, we move forward into this new year. Some people make resolutions, others make plans. I make plans myself. Do you have any plans for 2023 you'd like to share with us, sir?
No.
No, not really? Okay.
No, I didn't, you know, plans. No. Write more articles and books.
Okay. So you're going to continue on your current path of writing articles and writing books and doing the occasional speaking engagement here and there and doing some radio here and there and getting the word out to as many people as possible. That's your passion, isn't it?
Well, the books, I'm doing research while I'm doing it, so I'm looking for clues or answers to the situation we're in, if there are any.
Well, you tend to have a very level head in your analysis, Jeff, and be fact-based as opposed to fear-based or conjecture-based. You like to prognosticate based on facts and interviewing people that are actually in the know, don't you, sir?
Well, yeah, I would prefer to talk about things that are real. You know, and the thing that people maybe don't understand is that there are the enemy that we're fighting, communism, they use abstractions as weapons. And they're dominating the information warfare space. And they're manipulating people on the right and the left. And they've been very successful at it, and especially since they've deceived so many people about what's really going on in Russia and in China. And this deception extends to other countries as well. And their methods of deception, they use, you know, most people don't realize that we live by abstractions. You know, all the principles of truth and justice and government and religion and everything are abstractions. And these ideas and the symbols that we use determine our consciousness. And our enemy wants to determine our consciousness so that he can basically put us to sleep and defeat us better. And I'm afraid most people today are sleepwalking. But they don't even know. They wouldn't even recognize the enemy or recognize his techniques at all. So I'm trying to understand some of the things they're doing now, because they always have twists and turns in what they do. So what is China going to do? What is Russia going to do? How are they going to resolve the war in Ukraine? What are they going to do in the next step?
These are major questions that the answers of which will impact us very strongly, won't they, sir?
Well, yeah, and it will determine, you know, given the hold that they have over many of the countries in the West. I mean, look at who the premier of Canada is. Look at who they've got in power in Germany, in France. So when you consider what they've already accomplished in terms of penetrating our society, and look at the ideas that most people use to navigate by, people don't even realize that a lot of the ideas they use and the things they talk about were created by their enemy for the purpose of hoodwinking them or getting them to make a mistake. So where this is going to lead us and how they're going to exploit it and what their weaknesses are, how they've misstepped. Just because you have sophisticated, you've turned abstractions into weapons and you're using them to destroy a civilization, doesn't mean you really ultimately know what you're doing or are competent at everything you do. Basically, they are not. And we can see that in Ukraine right now. And of course, a big question on people's minds for the coming year is, where is this war going to go? And is it going to end this year, in 2023?
Good question. Now, there's been some attempts at reaching a ceasefire or a treaty between Russia and Ukraine. Any updates on that, sir?
It seems very unlikely. I think this is my analysis. I think the Russian side is posturing to appear reasonable to their own people and to others. But the Russians know quite well. I mean, imagine if a hostile Mexican army, for example, invaded the Southwest and had taken half of Texas and half of New Mexico and Southern California. Would it be acceptable, would it be possible for any American president to say, all right, we'll let all that go. You know, and if the Mexican president said, all right, I'm good for peace, let's do peace now. And I don't think it would be politically possible for any American leader to simply give away American territory. And that's what, you know, Putin's saying, oh, I'm being reasonable, I'm going to get, but he's sitting on a whole bunch of Ukrainian territory. And they're saying, no, you're going back to your old border, and we're getting our territory back. That's really what it's like. You have to put yourself in the shoes of the Ukrainians to see why. You know, the peace is fine. Return to the 2014 status quo ante. Return to the border of Ukraine that Russia promised to respect in the 1994 Budapest memorandum that Moscow signed. That we signed, that the British signed, that says we will respect the border of Ukraine that existed then, that it existed for, you know, from 1991 to 2014. So that's the obstacle to peace, and I don't think if the Russians are not going to do that, then it's not going to be possible.
If the Russians won't do that, then it won't be possible. Is that what you said, sir?
Yeah. Peace will not be possible if the Russians don't restore Ukraine's borders. And I don't think the Russians have any intention to restore Ukraine's borders. In fact, the buildup of troops indicates it's quite clear to me that they want the whole of Ukraine. They don't just want Donbas and Crimea. Otherwise, they wouldn't have started this war. They want the whole country. And the fact is, you go back to Putin's speech on February 24th of last year, and he basically said, Ukraine's not really a country. Lenin made a mistake creating Ukraine as an independent republic of the USSR, you know, with some kind of theoretical sovereignty. And this mistake is now going to be, you know, rectified. That's not saying that he recognizes any part of Ukraine has a right to exist. You know, and that's what a lot of people have missed. He wants to take the whole thing, and if Ukraine does not have the wherewithal to resist, he will take the whole thing. Because no country in Europe, not NATO, not anybody, is going to send troops. They're just not going to do that. And if the Ukrainian army can't hold them back, then there's no holding them back.
Well, we start the second year of this war, what, in about 7 or 8 weeks or so, something like that?
What's that?
We start the second year of this war in about 7 or 8 weeks.
Yeah, on February the 24th of next month, it will be 1 year, yes. And so for those people that thought it was going to be a quick war, or who thought that the Russians had it in the bag, you know, like Colonel Douglas McGregor. Douglas McGregor is really discredited himself, in my view. I've interviewed him before. I've written about him before. Thought he was kind of impressive some years ago. But this, as an analyst of this war, he's destroyed his own reputation. Oh, this is over in 10 days, you know.
Right.
Well, on day 10, well, it's virtually over now. You know, now it's going to be a year, right?
Oh,
and
boy.
We even have callers who call into this show who say, Ukraine is losing badly. It's like, if they were losing badly, then what day next week are they going to surrender? Mm-hmm. It's going to go a year. And there's no question about it. And when a country three times the size in population of another country cannot defeat it in short order, it's really speaks volumes to the military incapacity of the invading country. I have no doubt whatsoever if they nuked Ukraine, they would own it pretty well. But the Ukrainians are, by their own admission, by Putin's own statement, the Ukrainians are actually Russian citizens. Actually, they're not really. There's no Ukraine. Now, the word Ukraine, it means it's the outer part of Russia. So they're Russians. So you don't, you know, in a civil war, you don't use nuclear weapons. So they can't do that. They can do that to NATO, though. You know, they can do that to America, which I think ultimately they have that in their mind to do that at some point, depending on their Chinese allies. But Ukraine, they can't do that. They have to do it the old-fashioned way.
Are the fuel air bombs on the table to be used or not, sir?
They've been using them. Yeah, okay. They've been using them.
Okay.
And I think the Ukrainians just recently here retaliated in kind by using the HIMARS against a Russian unit in the field and causing mass Russian casualties in one day. I think they lost over 200 men in one strike from, I don't know how many HIMARS were involved, but there must have been quite a few rounds. And they were using rounds that were very destructive. So I just heard the bare details of heavy Russian casualties.
All right. Gentlemen, we have a caller and holder. We got Pat in Texas. Good morning, Pat.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. I may have already said this before because when I talk off the to people I know that watch TV and say, I thought you should stop watching TV. But I just remember back before 2014 and the Christian TV, which I went to a lot of trouble to get in the kitchen. And I remember it plainly that they said, will you please pray for Ukraine, because Russia's sending people down here trying to take over. And when they do, they're going to close all our orphanages. And people are adopting whole families of kids, you know. And I think I remember talking to you, Jeff, about where did the orphans come from? But the point is that I think that's what happened. Russia just sent people down there until they could get a little hold on it, you know, and make up a story. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's what happened in Donbass, yes. Yeah, the Russian invasion of Donbass, there was, rather than attacking the whole of Ukraine, they've attempted to bleed Ukraine white in Donbass. And, of course, the war in Donbass has been going on for more than 8 years. It's going to be 9 years this year that war was going on. And this is part of how Ukraine got geared up to defend itself, is that they realized they had to focus on making their army capable because they were concerned that the Russians would widen the war, and which has indeed happened. And they received training from the British. They received help from Donald Trump. Donald Trump it was not Barack Obama that sent Ukraine actual military weapons. Obama sent humanitarian support, but it was Donald Trump that was the first president to send weapons. And so we gave them things that helped them defend themselves over the last 8 years. And other countries in Europe, like Poland and the UK, helped them as well in terms of training. So, you know, that's why they've survived. Yeah.
I've heard of, like, CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, and they have people on the ground there, reporters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I believe them more than I do anybody that calls RBN with some crazy story. I hate to say that, but I do believe, and I do believe that all kind of people are helping help them now. Other countries.
Hold on, Pat. Hold on, Pat. We got a break. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Fix bayonets.
Blame Eden and Nicole Colgren. Wherefore many men have gone.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. My website is thelibertyman.com. Up and running, we hope, by the end of the day today. It's been a challenge. In the meantime, if you need an energy cleaner, if you need a liberated rocket heater, just call me when the show's over. I'll be glad to take your order at 314-965-3007. This is the Tuesday Morning Roundtable with Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer, Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. Books for sale at Amazon. Jeff, before I get back to Pat's comments, how can people subscribe to your website, please?
There's a PayPal button below every video or article that they can support the site.
All right. And Pat, what's the rest of your comment or question?
Well, it's my understanding from books I read that the German scientists came over here from Germany to help us make the nuclear bomb because they knew that Hitler was fixing to make it and he had plans on taking over the world. Is that right?
No, I haven't heard that at all. Have you heard that, Jeff? Jeff, you're on mute there, Jeff. Jeff, you're on mute.
She said something about German scientists.
She says German scientists came here during World War II to help us make nuclear weapons. I have no knowledge of that. Do you?
She's talking about the Jewish German scientists that participated in the Manhattan Project.
Yeah, okay. The Manhattan. Yeah,
because the Jews, Hitler drove the Jews. A lot of Jews got out of Germany. Not all of them went to camps and died, but a number of them went to Britain and the U.S.
Okay.
Well, you don't think that they knew that Hitler was going to make the bomb himself and that he planned on taking over the world?
Well, they were worried that Hitler scientists would make the bomb. You know, Heisenberg, the German scientist physicist, was working on a bomb. But the German scientists were woefully behind us on knowing how to do that. So I think that one of the things that we've learned about Germany during the war was that they didn't really put the money into it or have the people that they needed to do it. They actually, they were so ignorant about the radiation that some of them exposed themselves to inordinate amounts of radiation. Or our scientists understood that they had to shield themselves when they're working with some of the stuff. So, I read a biography of Heisenberg a couple of years back, and it was like, wow, it doesn't sound like they really were serious about making that bomb. They weren't really, I don't think they were very close, really.
Well, that book is a good book, I think. The Manhattan Project. I think it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'll let you go. I appreciate your listen. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, thanks for the call, Pat. The call number is 512-248-8252. Well, Jeff, do we have any updates out of China and your sources there, sir, that we need to hear about?
Well, what I'm hearing is that the Russians are putting back their offensive to start in February. I think we heard at the beginning of fall that they were planning their offensive, at the end of fall or later, we heard their offensive was going to start in November. Then we were hearing late January. Now we're hearing their offensive is going to start in February sometime. And part of it has to do with the ground is not freezing. You know, we had this big freeze in America. Well, the Arctic air, it causes the really hard freezing. It either goes into Eurasia or it goes into North America. And this batch of cold air went into North America. So they're going to have to wait longer.
Have to wait longer.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to wait longer for the weather conditions to be suitable for a large-scale countrywide offensive, which is what apparently they've been preparing for.
Any idea what the time frame for that would be, sir?
Well, that's what I was just saying. February, not January.
February, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we got a better part of 2 months there. That's good. I guess it's good. And of course, the big question is, will they only invade Taiwan or will they go farther than that? We have a break. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Mr. Sandman. Dear Liberty Man, my aches and pains are making it hard for me to sleep at night. Ugh, what's a girl to do? Signed, Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend the Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com. And Sleepless, there's a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner, I'm sleepless no more. And let's just say there's more action going on in the bedroom than snoring.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM, that's where you need it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question, the only question that matters. Who are you?
Back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. Website's still down. It's been a challenge. We're into the third week now, my website being down. My new webmaster promises it'll be up and running before the day is over. We shall see. In the meantime, I have energy cleaners and mattress pads in stock ready for immediate shipment to help you get past your arthritis pain, get the best night's sleep you've had maybe in decades. You want to order an energy cleaner and a mattress pad, just give me a call when the show is over at 314-965-3007. I say again, 314-965-3007. Visiting with Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer, Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog, books for sale at Amazon. And, well, Jeff, the what China intends to do is no secret. We have the, of course, my website's down right now, but the speech given by the Chinese defense minister outlined the goals of the People's Liberation Army are very clear. There's no room for mistaking what they really want ultimately, is there, sir?
No, and we have the testimony of the GRU defector who worked in China, Colonel Stanislav Lunev, who also spoke about military coordination and agreements on intelligence and future military operations between Russia and China that were made 30 years ago. And of course, that was when he was inside the Russian general staff, when he was in a position to know what kind of deals they were making, deals to share all intelligence on the United States, deals to split the United States in a future war, how to divide the territory in North America. These are their ultimate ambitions. How they're going to get there, that is something that you have to watch and watch what they do. I think that the Russians determined to be part of this partnership with China. They had to put the Soviet Union back together, which meant getting back Central Asia and Ukraine, formally united, back to Russia again. And so this is the step that they're taking now in Ukraine. And this is apparently a misstep, because they haven't been doing too well.
Would that be an understatement to say they haven't been doing too well, sir?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, we don't really know what the Ukrainian losses are. We know we have pretty good documentation now on the Russian losses, over 120,000 dead. Wounded, missing, and probably another 30,000 to 60,000, which means the entire personnel of the initial invasion are no longer usable by Russia. So they've basically lost a huge number of people.
Well, I don't know about Russia and their war, but in American wars, typically for every dead American soldier, there's 10 that were wounded. That doesn't apply to what's going on with Russia and the war they're involved in?
Probably not, because they are not taking care of their wounded. They even leave their dead on the battlefield. Yeah, they're not taking care of their wounded. So the reason why their casualty rate is so high is that they don't really take good care of their wounded like we do.
Well, that's going into battle is a major thing. I've turned down assignments in Africa back in the 80s because I knew there wasn't the logistical backup to take care of me or my comrades if somebody got hurt. Going into battle knowing that you're not going to be cared for if you get hurt is not really good for esprit de corps, is it?
No. And, of course, Russia has not has not spent the money needed to make this part of their system in their military a function the way ours does. We care about the soldiers. We do what we can medically to keep them alive. In with the Russians, a wounded soldier is just a burden. Better that he die and we'll get a new one. And it's because their military system evolved under communism. And it evolved through World War II, and they never cared then, and they only cared a little bit more after the war, when Khrushchev and Brezhnev and so on were building the Soviet military for a Cold War confrontation, a nuclear confrontation with the U.S. They look at the war, at a future war, as nuclear. They did it during the Cold War. And they have built their army for to use with nuclear weapons. So what kind of do you need a fine instrument, fine military instrument, when your theory of a future world war is a nuclear world war? No, you don't. And so they have built an army that is a more blunt instrument to be used with nuclear weapons in tandem with. And that is part of the explanation for why the Russian army is structured the way it is. And that is both, for Ukraine, that's good news. But for the rest of it, it's, wait a minute, that's not really good news, because it means that their ultimate concept of waging a war against us is to use nukes.
Well, Jeff, the attitude of the Russian military reminds me, there's a film about the Battle of Stalingrad. There's quite a few films, but this one is titled Enemy at the Gates, released in 2001, where the Russian conscript, these young men, they're drafted with and have almost no training. When they're about to go into battle, they're in the teams of two. One man has a rifle and ammunition. The other man is instructed to pick up the rifle from the first guy when he dies and continue the fight. I don't know if it's how historically accurate the film is, but it gives the appearance of being very accurate as to what took place in winter of 42-43 in Stalingrad. It was absolute desperation, wasn't it, sir?
Well, one of the things that happened to the Soviet Union after Hitler attacked in June of 1941 was that their economy collapsed domestically. And the reason that it collapsed was that Stalin began enforcing controls over the economy that basically collapsed it. So it was the actual war measures adopted by the communists themselves that actually destroyed their own economy. And they were only rescued by President Roosevelt in the United States through Lend-Lease. You know, when they collapsed their own aluminum industry, when they collapsed their ability to make a lot of weapons, we came in and gave them weapons and things. And so they basically would not have survived. You know, if you really look at the war, they would not have survived if we hadn't provided them massive aid. And that includes food. We were sending them Spam, you know, meat to keep going, because they were literally, you know, on the point of starving. A lot of their best farmland was occupied by the Germans. The Germans entirely occupied Ukraine. They occupied Crimea in the war. They occupied Belarusia, what is now Belarus. They occupied the Baltic states, the most agriculturally rich land. And they occupied then, in the second year of the war, they occupied much of southern Russia, southeast of Rostov, which is the other section of rich farmland. So yeah, when you get to that period where the Germans are in Stalingrad, the Russians are at the end of their tether, and that was the point at which if the Germans could actually have held that territory, it probably would have collapsed the Soviet Union the following year.
Amazing. Well, the Lend-Lease equipment, including Douglas DC-3 aircraft, are still in use in Russia. And I was shocked to see that more than 2,000 DC-3s were still in use in Russia, according to authoritative sources, such as Jane's publications. Once they get stuff, they just take care of it, don't they?
Well, if they're smart, American-made stuff back then was pretty good. And it had the capacity to last. So it's not cheap, really. And we gave them a lot of stuff. Fighter planes, tanks, all kinds of things. The one thing that they did produce, outproduce us in, there was only one category of weapon that the Soviet Union made more of than we did, and that's artillery. They made more artillery than anybody else in World War II, more than us, which is remarkable because we outproduced everybody in every other category of weapon.
Absolutely. Got a question or comment? We got open lines at 512-248-8252. Well, Jeff, one of our ongoing mantras is to encourage people to take personal responsibility for the safety and security of their own families. Right, sir?
Yeah. I mean, it's good to be responsible. Take care of yourself. Absolutely.
And that's something that will continue here at my show indefinitely. Making sure people recognize the threats, that they're prepared to deal with the threats, and don't just sit on their butts thinking about it, but actually take action. Thinking about it won't accomplish much by itself, will it, Jeff?
No. You know, having extra food and water and being able to have your own alternatives to heat and light if the electricity goes out is going to be important, especially if the United States ends up becoming part of a war, because our enemies have EMP weapons and there is the possibility of a nuclear attack. So people may dismiss that, and let's hope that that's a remote possibility. But it is a possibility. These weapons are aimed at our country. And there is already a war in Europe that could become enlarged, become a larger war. It's possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Jeffany, North Korea has been making some moves lately, shooting off some missiles. Anything to that, or is it just posturing?
Well, with the North Koreans, they love to talk about destroying the United States in their propaganda. And they have, I don't know, I've heard they have over 30 nuclear weapons. The late Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, who passed away last year, believed that they had EMP, super EMP weapon. Because of the nature of their nuclear tests, the low yields and the signatures being consistent with the development of those weapons, there was a Russian general who came to the United States and told us that indeed the scientists, the Russian scientists who made the super EMP weapon for Russia, were in North Korea working for the North Koreans. He told this was told to Congress years ago. So North Korea has the capacity to destroy the United States if they have a super EMP weapon and they detonate it over the United States. The EMP Commission determined that most Americans, 80% of Americans, would die within a year of an EMP attack because of the breakdown of the electrical grid and all of the things we depend on to move food and machines to supply us with food. And, of course, social breakdown would follow, etc. So this is a pretty serious issue. And unfortunately, Peter, who struggled mightily to get something done by Congress, by President Trump. No, they didn't do anything. They didn't protect the grid. Trump gave lip service to it. He didn't really do it. And he had a Republican Congress for 2 years, and they didn't do it. In fact, Peter was disgusted because they, you know, at one point he had a bill, and it was a Republican senator in Alaska who stalled it in committee. So, you know, both parties are apparently have members who will block a bill to strengthen our grid. And it's one thing that Americans, if you can write your congressman and say we need grid protection from EMP attack and that they need to pass a bill.
All right. I've got a couple of callers here, Jeff. We have John in British Columbia. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning, Jeff. I don't call all the time, but so I'll give you a call this morning. And I've got a couple of questions for you, Jeff, if you're up for them.
Sure.
Okay. So the Minsk agreements, they were just come out that all the parties that were were part of that, the Minsk agreements, which stopped the civil war in 2014, it was Hollande from France and Merkel and Poroshenko, all three of them have come out and said that they were lying. They've admitted it openly in interviews. What do you say about that?
Well, the Russians were trying to force the Ukrainians to basically give up sovereignty over Donbas. And the Ukrainians, I think everybody knew, I didn't hear the interviews with the European leaders, but I think everybody understood that Ukraine, by its own laws and by its democratic system, by its parliament, was never going to vote to accept, to change their constitution to what the Russians wanted them to change it to.
Hold that thought. We got a break here, Jeff. Yeah. Hold on. John, hold on. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
As I said to those who've joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. John, you still with us?
Yeah, still here, Jim. John.
Yeah, go ahead with your question or comment, sir. Go ahead.
Well, the comment, I mean, everybody has their own opinion, and Jeff has his, I have mine. I followed the Ukraine situation pretty closely, and when a leader like Hollande, who was the president of France, and Merkel, leader of Germany, and Poroshenko, the leader of the Ukraine, all come out in the space of about 2 weeks and admit that they lied to the Russians, and they said, "Yep, we're gonna call the ceasefire, we're gonna do this this Minsk Accord," and there's no speculation about that. So, I mean, Jeff sort of glossed over the fact, oh, yeah, it's this and that. No, I mean, that was a treaty. That went to the UN Security Council, and it was UN Security Council Resolution 2202. And at the time, the Security Council had 15 members, and that was unanimous approval of that.
Yeah, but hold on. The treaty was not made with the UN Security Council. The treaty was an attempt to make a treaty with Ukraine, and the Ukrainian Parliament never passed the treaty, never ratified the treaty.
Well, okay, By the way,
if Holland or Merkel admit that they were buying time for Ukraine, because basically they understood, and the Russians clearly could understand too, that demanding that Ukraine change their laws and the way their constitution worked was never going to get through the Ukrainian parliament. It was not realistic. And the Russians knew this too. So it's not like anybody was fooling anybody. It's like if you told the United States, according to, we've signed treaties, by the way, that requires our constitution to make changes, or we just ignore our constitution. So the thing is that for many Americans, it's like, oh, yeah, that's a silly agreement. That's against our constitution. I don't know why we signed that. You know, but the thing is that everybody knows, unless we start, you know, going against our own laws, we are not going to be able to follow some of these treaties, like these treaties about the environment. We do those treaties, and you're going against basic provisions in our constitution about the right of due process for people who control property. And you've got a huge tangle mess in the United States. And we are in some ways going against our constitution, but realistically the Minsk agreements were never realistic unless they further negotiated changes in those agreements. But the Ukrainians never, formally went along with them. So well, it was a kind of a limbo.
You know what the genesis of the Minsk agreements were.
The ceasefires that attended those agreements, the Russians didn't keep them. The Russians did not keep any.
Well, hang on. The agreements were
nullified by Russian behavior continually.
Let's get a response from John. Go ahead, John. Yeah.
Okay, so what actually brought all this about? And it was an urgent scramble between the Germans and the French, because there's a place in the Donbass now, and it's Debaltseve, and it was a famous battle there. And you can there's documentaries on it. And what actually happened, the Ukrainians were fighting themselves. There was Russian support, but the Donbass republics, the Lugansk and Donetsk, they declared their independence
in a certain way.
They
were, break. We'll continue this after the break. Hold on, everybody.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Defeat. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.